Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. I love missionary stories. I have, ever since I was a child. I'm enthralled by them. I remember when I was 3 years old, I attended a CEF Child Evangelism Fellowship Good News Club in Northwest Ohio, where I grew up. I remember my mom taking my sister and myself to Margaret Ann Bash's home, who was a CEF missionary overseas on furlough at that time, living in Forest, Ohio. There in her home, week after week, for almost a whole year, Margaret Ann poured into us God's Word. I remember coming to her home and gathering together with all our and the other neighborhood children. There we sang songs about Jesus and the Bible, which are still some of my favorite songs to this day. I remember the flannel board and Margaret Ann always standing before us as she was teaching with her Bible opened. I was amazed how Margaret Ann seemed to just pull out Bible characters directly from her Bible and somehow magically stick them on her flannel board, making the Bible story come alive to us in full and living color right before our eyes. I remember so many sights and sounds of that Good News Club, including the cookies and the lemonade, and looking up at Margaret Ann's face, and then looking down again at Margaret Ann's shoes. But of all the things I remember the most, I remember those missionary stories. I listened and loved every one of them. I was intrigued by them. I couldn't get over those great heroes of the Christian faith who are really just ordinary people, but who were willing to literally give it all and lay it all down, all to tell others about Jesus. If there is one thing Child Evangelism Fellowship is known for outside of the Wordless Book and our clear gospel message presentation in every Bible lesson, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, CEF is also known for our great missionary stories. CEF has so many stories to choose from, all in full-color flip chart booklets, such as the story of Hudson Taylor, Amy Carmichael, Mary Slessor, Corey Ten Boom, Jim Elliott, Eric Liddell, William Carey, and the list goes on and on and on. One missionary story in particular that I love to teach children, especially around the Thanksgiving-Christmas season, is a story called How the Dyacks Learned to Give. It's a true story about Arthur Mao, who served both he and his wife as missionaries in West Borneo for 26 years back in the 1930s and 1950s. During their time, they saw thousands of Dyack Indians place their faith alone in Christ as their Lord and Savior, and also they helped to start many churches and train national pastors in West Borneo to carry on the ministry. It might surprise you, though, that Arthur didn't always want to be a missionary. Arthur had grown up in a family of 8 children. Both Arthur's parents loved the Lord and sought to give to God first place in their lives in all that they did, and they taught their children to do the same. Every week after their father would come home from work receiving his weekly salary, the first thing that their mother and father would do was to take the pay envelope and place the first part, 1/10, of all their family's money into God's cup. Arthur's parents explained to their children how the first part of all that we have belongs first to God, and that God wants us to then give to Him as a thank offering back to Him. Then every Sunday morning, all 8 children would line up behind God's cup, and then one by one, they would each be given money from the cup to be given back to God for their Sunday school and church offering. So from the earliest of age, Arthur learned the importance of giving God first place in his life and biblical principles like Matthew 6:33, which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When Arthur was a little older, he decided he wanted to start giving to God himself from his own money that he had earned. At first it was a penny, a nickel, a dime, or a quarter, and then later his first dollar. Arthur had already come, though, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior when he was very young, but now he longed to give back to God more and more because of his love for Jesus. Arthur began to think that maybe when he got older, he could become a rich businessman so he could give back to God even more money. Sometimes, though, at dinner time, Arthur heard his parents say that money wasn't the only thing that they could give to God. His parents would teach them that God wanted to be first in every area of their life and that we need to trust Him and serve Him with all that we have, including our very lives. Several times he even heard his parents pray, "Lord, make some of our children a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist so that many more people will know about You." Every time Arthur heard that, he cringed inside and wanted to say, "Stop! I know God answers your prayers. Please, I don't want to be a missionary. I'm scared." However, as time went by and Arthur was in high school now, Arthur's own internal plans on the inside to become a successful and rich businessman began to grow and solidify in his heart. The problem was Arthur instead of asking God what God wanted him to do, Arthur was just going ahead and making his life decisions all by himself and leaving the Lord completely out of the picture. One day, a guest speaker came to Arthur's high school to speak at a special assembly. He was a preacher, and that day the speaker talked about the life experiences of David Livingstone, a famous pioneer missionary to Africa. Arthur listened excitedly and intently. Arthur wanted to know why Dr. Livingstone had given up his medical career in the United Kingdom, where he could have been rich and famous, all to be a medical missionary serving in the heart of Africa and living among backwards and primitive people in awful conditions. Arthur thought about it, and he thought about it. He's like, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. He just couldn't figure it out. Arthur was so compelled to know and understand why anyone would do this that he decided to stop at the city library on the way home to check out several books on the life of David Livingstone. He found three books, and he read them all, every line, and he read them voraciously. He couldn't put the books down until he had finished. As Arthur read about David Livingstone's sacrificial life and commitment to the Savior, he realized that God doesn't just want a portion or 10% of our life. God wants it all. And for us to give all of ourselves, all for the Lord, as our gift, our sacrificial offering back to him who gave his all, his life, all for us. Romans 12:1-2 says it like this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Later on one day, as Arthur was driving his Model T Ford, Arthur began to sense that the Lord was asking him if he was willing to be a missionary and to give his life all for him as an offering to the Lord. It's as if he saw that God was asking him to place all that he had, himself and all of his hopes and dreams and plans for his life, into God's cup, and to trust the Lord with God's plan for his life and let go of all of his. That day, it was settled. Arthur said yes to God and offered himself up to the Lord and committed himself all to the Lord and to his will for his life. No, Arthur didn't just jump into the mission field right away. It took some time before he was ready. First, there was Bible school training, followed by missionary training, and then later the Lord gave to him a loving and supportive wife who was also called of the Lord to go to the mission field as well. Then within a few years, God raised up their needed support, and off they traveled by boat for many months to a faraway distant land in West Borneo, all to tell people about Jesus. The initial ministry years were tremendously fruitful and actually astounding. It was all by the work of the Holy Spirit. But within the first 4 years among the Dayaks in West Borneo, a very primitive tribe, they saw more than 2,000 people trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior from sin. The people turned from worshiping idols and their sinful ways. They no longer lied and cheated and stole and murdered. A lot of warring among each other had also stopped. Now they had great love for one another and even for the other enemy tribes as well. They now wanted to live a life pleasing to God and somehow give back to God for all that God had done and given to them. However, one day when Arthur was getting ready to preach to 900 of them at a time, he sensed that he and the other missionaries may not be there forever, and he wondered what would happen to the Dayaks, these young believers in the Lord, if the missionaries were no longer around to help them or to provide for them. How could Arthur have known that in just a few short years, World War II would break out and cause all the Western missionaries to leave West Borneo and the Dayaks would be left wholly on their own? He didn't, but God did. That day, while standing under the shade of a grove of rubber trees, Arthur Mao was compelled in his heart to speak to the Dayaks about God's cup and how God wanted to be first place in their lives, including with not only what they had themselves, but also all of themselves, their hopes, their dreams and plans, their whole lives. Some of the national workers who were training under the missionaries for the ministry, they thought the author was out of his mind. They objected, these people are too poor. You're asking these people to give when they have nothing already. They already have no clothes, hardly any food, and all their possessions in their entire family could fit into a 5-gallon tin bucket, and you want them to give back to God more? They'll starve, they said. Arthur heard their words, but he found nothing in the Bible to back up their objections. He had known verses like Malachi 3:10 that his parents had taught him since childhood about giving to God first and God opening the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing, and also scripture verses like Matthew 6:33 that he taught to the Dayak people, telling them, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." One day the Christian elders of the Dayaks came to Arthur after he had finished speaking and said, Tuan, we have been wondering how we can give back to God for all that He has done for us in giving us His Son to die for us and give us new life. Now, through your teaching and God's talk, now we know what to do. We want to start giving back to God because of all that He has done and given to us. Author, he was astounded. God had already went before and had already been preparing the Dyack's heart to give to God out of their love for God and all that God had done for them. Each new moon, three chosen and well-respected leaders among the Dyacks, they delivered to the mission house all the Dyack people's gifts. Author's porch began to strain under the weight of the monthly pile of cucumbers and sweet potatoes, rice, chicken, and eggs. But nothing of all that was given was ever used for Author's family personally or even for the other Western missionaries. Instead, Author sold all the Dyack's produce to buy nails and wood to build the Dyack churches. Within a few years, 10 self-supporting churches scattered throughout the Dyack lands and West Borneo were built, and not a penny of American or Western money was used. In time, national pastors among the Dyacks were trained, and all of them were completely self-supported by the Dyack churches. Also, within a short time, the Dyacks sent out 4 national missionaries to other tribes and regions in the country. The Dyacks wanted to now go and give to others, even those different from themselves, the same good news that God had given to them. What God had done among the Dyack people was absolutely amazing. Even their harvest from that time on, they never seemed to lack. God had met the needs of His people all the way around, and the Dyacks learned the most important lesson of all, that God wants us to give ourselves, our very lives, first to Him as a grateful offering to the Lord and to give Him first place in our lives, including in all that we have. Giving God first place in our lives is not just a Sunday thing or a missionary conference thing or even an Author Mount or Dyack thing. It's an everyday thing for every believer, no matter what our vocation or our location. God wants us as His children who have believed and trusted in Him to give Him first place in our lives. It doesn't matter if we are young or old, rich or poor, or a pastor, missionary, teacher, or evangelist, or a homemaker, businessman, factory worker, or a native tribal person. God wants first place in our hearts and lives and nothing less. Why should we as believers give God first place? The answer is simple, because He gave Himself all for us. The question really is this: why wouldn't we want to give our all for Him who gave Himself all for us? Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" This Thanksgiving and Christmas season, as we think about gift-giving and giving gifts to those that we know and love, let's remember first that God's greatest gift to us, the gift of His own Son. Then let us remember too, as His people, that the gift that God desires the most is for us to give back to Him the gift of ourselves and all that we have. We do not do this out of a desire for merit or of demand or of the applause of men or of God, but solely out of our love for Him, our Lord and our Savior. The reason for our gift giving to Him is simple. We love Him because He first loved us. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we seek to remember all that God has done for us and how we can show our love back to Him and to others, including the future generations.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699. Or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
This Christmas, you can give the ultimate Christmas gift to a child in need when you partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to host a Christmas party for unchurched children. You can share the gift of the good news of Jesus Christ. Parties can be held in various locations, and CEF will supply the training and tools for a fun and interactive party that children will enjoy. Join Christmas Across America and help reach the next generation for Christ this Christmas. To learn more, call your local CEF chapter.
Call 688-9699.